This is your morning routine.
Put some respect on my name.
Cap and J-Hood.
That's right. That's right. We're bad.
Watch the show on Twitch. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago. Stream the show on the ESPN Chicago app and on FM 100.3 HD2 and on ESPN 1000 Chicago. Now. David Kaplan and Jonathan Hood.
Good morning, everyone.
Bring them out. Bring them out. Woo! Bring them out. 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 Bring them out.
Oh, God. Welcome in to the Cap and Jay Hood Morning Show on ESPN 1000, and we're streaming on the ESPN Chicago app. With David Kaplan and Jonathan Hood with you, we got Shay, we got Jay Moore, we got you for a three-hour ride here on this Tuesday morning with open phone lines for you at 312-332-ESPN, 332-3776 is our telephone number. Good morning, Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN1000 Chicago. Thanks for watching the show. And all the shows here on ESPN Chicago are brought to you by White Claw Vodka Soda. And so, Cap, Sox with the day off, which means they lost that one too, lost the day. It says they're losing games. They lost the day off yesterday. And then the Cubs, the sole main screen in the Hood Cave yesterday, Cubs baseball, as they lose against the Houston Astros 6-4. The playoff-bound Cubs now 19-22 on the season. Nice job.
You really want to do that this early?
Well, I'm just telling you. I mean, you had them, you had the parade right already for this Cubs team going to the playoffs, and they're 19-22. Not as good as they were in Chavez Ravine.
Wow.
Free-falling.
Okay.
That's a word.
Want to do this? Let's do it. All Let's get it on.
All right.
First of all, they have a kid on their roster. Maybe he's a man. Michael Fulmer.
Yes.
Michael Fulmer should never be used in any type of a tight leverage, high leverage, whatever you want to call it, situation. So let me just paint the picture here for everyone if you didn't see the game last night. Before I could settle in my seat with my dinner, I cooked dinner last night, made some delicious salmon in the air fryer, made some broccoli. Mindy and I got the game on. Here we go. Framber Valdez strikes out the side in the first. Okay. He's good. Let's go, Tyone.
That's right. Bottom of the first we go. Houston nothing. Cubs nothing.
Thanks, Pat.
That ruined your night also.
So he jams one guy, makes a good pitch. A flare into the outfield, base hit. Next thing I know, there's two men. They hit a ball to Christopher Morel. Now, the outrage on social media is amusing to me. Why is Morel in left field? Okay. Ian Happ needed a day off his feet, so he just DH'd. That's okay. That's fine. Ian's a gold glove outfielder. I'm glad he's on our team.
Mm-hmm.
Christopher Morel has to make that catch. Like the outrage, why is David Ross putting him in left field? He's an outfielder, folks. He can play out there. That's on him. That was not the manager's fault. That's Christopher Morel's fault. That's a catchable ball. Like, maybe Shea can look it up. Catch probability on the ball from Abreu. It had to be over 50%. He's got to make that play. He doesn't. Then Tyone gives up a couple rockets, and the next thing you know, it's 4-0.
Mm-hmm.
Against Framber Valdez, I'm like, well, we're effed. 4-0. They battle back. 4-1. Two men on. Here's Morel. Bam! We're tied. I am screaming. We're back, Mindy. Here we go. 4-4.
Made up for it.
Right.
Made up for the error. So it wasn't called an error, but you made up for the miscue in left field.
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
We go to the seventh inning. I'm going to have my dessert, this really delicious keto chocolate bar.
Uh-huh. Yeah, sounds great.
It does the trick.
Uh-huh.
Got to get that food out of my system.
Can we talk about the Cubs? Let's go.
So I settle in. I open up my little dessert bar, and I go, what in the F is he doing on the mound? My wife's like, what would you do? anybody but him. Mindy, I'd rather have you on the mound in a leverage situation than Michael Fulmer. So I'm right with the social media mob that is furious with David Ross. This is before he gives it up. Mm-hmm. Man on, Alex Bregman up. I'm like, okay, he's going to throw one in his go zone. I don't care if the guy's hitting 204. His name is Alex Bregman. It's not Gertrude Bregman up there. It's Alex Bregman. Guy's a damn good baseball player. Bam! See you later into the Crawford boxes at 6-4. They got a great bullpen. Ball game over. Cubs lose. They've struck out, I believe I totaled this correctly. My math's not great. On this road trip, four games, they've struck out 51 times. 51 times!
That's a lot.
That's a lot.
That is a lot. 16 last night.
Brutal. Mm-hmm. So my question to David Ross, I get that Nico Horner's injured right now, so you've got to play the pint-sized Nick Madrigal at second.
Excuse me? What would you call him?
Pint-sized.
Oh, pint-sized. Huh. Shots at Madrigal.
Mm. He stinks.
What? I'm sorry, what'd you say? Headphones, sorry, early. What'd you say?
He stinks.
Oh, Nick Madrigal stinks.
Yeah.
Yeah? Oh, you didn't need a scout to tell you that he stinks. Who told you that first?
You did.
Okay.
The day the trade went down.
Okay.
I like him. He's good. I can put him in my back pocket. He's cute.
So my question to David Ross would be...
For a ball player.
He is. I don't have a problem that you had Chris Morel in left. I like Christopher Morel. And with the lousy offense you're getting out of our Japanese import in right field, who came in here...
All right. All right.
He was tearing up the Japanese league. They paid $100 million for Seiya Suzuki. Right. You know I like this guy.
Okay.
This is not the... Japanese professional league. This is the major leagues. I don't care that you look like the Hulk. He's put together. He's terrible right now.
So the guy that you had as rookie of the year.
That was a year ago.
Last year. Yep. Okay. Now stinks in right field. What happened there?
He can't hit right now.
Huh.
Solid defender.
Huh.
Not hitting.
How much money you pay for Suzuki?
With the posting fee, $99 million. So I'm watching this game, and I don't understand. Somebody please help me. When you're a major league manager, and your job is not to develop players from, you know, freshman year in high school till they go off to college and we get all excited. You're a freaking major league manager. How do you possibly look down at your bullpen and go, get Fulmer up? What? Like, if I'm the pitching coach, Tommy Hotovy, or the bench coach, I don't even know who it is.
Yep.
If I'm one of those guys, David, you sure you want to do this?
Yeah.
Why? That guy, if we're not going to cut him, then let's try and rehabilitate him when we're getting our ass kicked or we're kicking somebody's ass. Not when it's 4-4 in the seventh. I mean, what possible part of David Ross, who's a good dude, he runs a good culture in there, everybody likes to play for him and he holds him accountable. What possible part did he look from his top step with his warm-up jacket on and go, yeah, Fulmer's the right move here? I don't get it.
Someone that should be DFA'd. Correct?
Yeah, like, that's the popular thing. We all go, DFA him. And...
Well, that's fair, though. What are you getting?
Well, my question is, who are you putting in there? So, you brought up Jeremiah Estrada, and you brought up Nick Birdie. I would rather see one of those dudes pitch. If you thought enough to recall them, I don't know if they can get the job done or not. I don't know. I do know that dude you put in can't.
Mm-hmm.
Michael Fulmer. So that decision in and of itself really pissed me off. On vacation, I didn't get to watch a lot. But I was able to stream in my hotel room a couple times, a couple of the games.
Yeah.
A little bit for bet. I'm looking at the game like, you got two men on here like the third inning and you're bunting? You're bunting. The bunt gets them over to second and third. Correct me if I'm wrong, everybody, because I was a little inebriated in France. And you don't get a run in. Like, some of the decision-making that's going on is bothering me. But nothing as much as bringing Michael freaking Fulmer into the game. I would like Jed Hoyer to call his manager today and go, that guy's on the no-fly list. You can't use him unless you're up or down three or more runs. That's a really good Houston team. I get it. You battle back. And then you go in the fetal position when you put that son of a in the game.
Careful.
Period.
Well, a couple of things that stand out to me. One, I'd hope that Cody Bellinger's okay. Made a hell of a catch at the wall. You saw that, right?
That hell of a catch was unbelievable. And then he comes down and his left knee kind of hyperextends.
Yeah.
And then he's laying down. Suzuki's like applauding him. Like, what a catch.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it was, I'm trying to remember who was pitching at the time, but it, all of a sudden then Suzuki's waving, get the trainer out here.
Mm-hmm.
And so they go book it out to the center field and he's laying down, he's looking at us. And I'm like, oh God.
That's the last thing you want.
And finally, when he got up and he walked off, you saw him take a deep breath and go, whew, like, I'm okay.
Yeah.
But then he didn't take his at bat.
Right.
David. And Miles Mastroboni came up.
Mm-hmm.
Strikeout. He's another one. I mean, come on. We got to have a better roster than that.
David Ross says,
Doc checked him out. Seems like everything, nothing major. We'll see how he wakes up in the morning. He's icing it now, and we'll see how he presents in the morning. But all the checks the doc did, ligaments and things, seem to be okay.
Well, one thing that you're not willing to do, clearly this morning after all of that, is that you're not giving the Astros credit. That's a better ball club than what you have.
Oh, no, that's a hell of a team. They're the champs for a reason.
There's a World Series championship team. What I'm telling you, though, is like, out of everything you talked about, like, Morel made that miscue in left field. I like to have him on my team. I love Morel's energy. He wants to be there, even though he had a disguise on for whatever reason, looking like a cat with whiskers on his face. I don't know why he did that, but he loves the game.
He does.
And wants to be. He never gets sent down for me. First of all, Christopher Morel should have been in the roster starting the season. Okay. I don't know why it took so much time for him to come to the ball club, because I loved his energy. And even if he's not playing every day, Cap, I like him being on the team for me.
Okay. That was my other point that I scrawled here on my Sun Times.
Oh, sorry.
Okay, if you tell me that you didn't want him to make the team opening day because you were trying to, I don't know if it was send a message or have him work on, at what point when he's hitting 370 in AAA and I'm calling back to Des Moines to my friends who cover the team and asking, they're like, dude, this guy's killing the ball. Like, it's not bloopers to right field. It's exit velocities of 105 and better. Why'd it take 5+ weeks to get him here? Please, somebody explain that to me. Like, you're not paying Nick Madrigal $30 million a year. We're like, well, we can't just release him. How could you not look at your team and go, yeah, we're okay. We need more offense. We got this guy destroying AAA. Nah, don't bring him up. Keep him down there. Make Des Moines happy. I mean, I'm pissed this morning.
I understand. So let's ask this question. Shay, let's open the phone lines. 312-332-ESPN. 332-3776 is our telephone number. As we talk about the playoff-bound Chicago Cubs, can David Ross still be the manager when the team is ready to win? The question ultimately is, Cub fans, is David Ross a A to B manager, B to C manager? And when the Cubs are good, will David Ross be the manager? It's a tough question, especially if you have a real, you know, love for David Ross for his time as a player and as a manager. But when the team is ready to win, will David Ross be the manager? Let's get your thoughts on that coming up next. Cap and J Hood, weekday mornings at 7.
If you miss something, get the podcast on the ESPN Chicago app. Cap and Jay Hood are back on Chicago's home for sports, ESPN Chicago.
It's the Cap and Jay Hood Morning Show on ESPN 1000, and we are streaming on the ESPN Chicago app. Glad you're with us here for a Tuesday edition of our program. We got Shot or No Shot coming up at 8 o'clock. Albert Breer will join us at 8:35 with the latest on the Bears in the NFL. So, Cap, here's how I feel about the Cubs. I told you at Old Crow Smokehouse for opening day when we broadcasted live there in the shadows of Wrigley Field that the Cubs are 1 year away from getting to the playoffs, that I felt like 24, based on the free agency money that you spent, over $300 million, that it's on, you're on your way. Very similar to the Bears in their trajectory, the same way, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're on the way. And you agreed until the Cubs got hot early, and then you said, okay, this is going to be a playoff team, especially after beating Los Angeles, which is difficult to do in L.A. I get it, right? But now they've regressed back to where they are at 19-22. This is who they are. When it comes to David Ross as a manager, and Jesse and I have gone round and round about this, the only question I've ever asked about David Ross is this. What does David Ross do? I mean, there's one thing about setting the culture. It's another thing to be able to push the right buttons, put the right players in, and have a chance to win. However, this Cubs team, Cap, as you well know, similar to the Bears, not ready to win. Not the last few years.
Agreed.
Since the pandemic to where you are right now, it's a step in the right direction in the offseason, but not ready to win. Now, my question is, in this new iteration of the Cubs, as you get more and more new players in, is David Ross the right guy for it? And again, you know, a guy that really held the championship team together because a leader usually happens when you're a backup catcher. That's now no shade on him. I'm just saying that he could see the game very well from the bench, from the bullpen. I thought the hire was sound because here's a guy here that knows pitching.
Mm-hmm.
Bullpen catcher, right? He's always communicating with those guys. So it's not just him getting in a catcher's crouch and catching. No, there's communication there. So I thought that hire was solid because of his knowledge of pitching. I didn't see much knowledge of pitching in the late of that game against the Astros, the late innings of that game.
Okay, so if he was sitting here in the studio with us, he would say to you or to me, what would you have done? And my response is like, you know, I got a guy on Twitter, Cap, bullpen was already wore out from the weekend. Who else was going to go out there? Anyone but that guy.
I get
anyone.
It.
You just recalled Nick Birdie and Jeremiah Estrada. Both of those dudes got recalled. Jeremiah Estrada throws 98.
Mm-hmm.
Put him out there. And if he gets lit up, try someone else the next day. But I could promise you, when that son of a...
Okay.
Took the mound,
all right,
I knew the game was over.
Yeah. Well, you know, I know that as a Sox fan. We got a couple of those guys on the roster.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, every baseball roster has break glass in case of emergency guy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, okay, he's on the roster, but we don't use him in tight situations. Game tied, opportunity to win the can't use him,
like,
right?
If you told me the game, okay, we're going to the 12th. We got nobody left.
Gotta
okay,
use him.
Gotta use him. It yeah. is what it is.
Yeah.
In the 7th, when you've battled back against that team on the road, I'm facing the Astros now. This is not the A's. This is the Astros. And that's the guy you looked down there and went, hey, give me that guy.
However, the listener on Twitter does make a great point. You did get your ass kicked against the Twins. You had to use a lot of people. A lot of them, including Master Beatty.
Mastroboni.
Mastroboni, beg your pardon. Mastroboni.
Yeah.
Yeah. I get it.
I don't need you shaking your head at me, Shay. I mispronounced the name. Sorry. Go ahead.
Wow.
Judgmental.
I'd say, look.
It's just typical judgmental.
It's poor Mastroboni having his name slandered like that.
I mispronounced it. That happens on the air. It's live radio, pal. Go ahead.
But I get what, you know, people are saying. Well, they got pounded by the Twins on Saturday. And so,
well, you okay. did.
You recalled two relievers yesterday. Mm-hmm. I don't know if they can pitch up here. I'd rather find out than put that guy who I know can't.
Mm-hmm.
Period.
I hear what you're saying. 312-332-3776 is our phone number. So the question that we're asking this morning is, can David Ross still be the manager when this team is ready to win? Abel in Shorewood on ESPN 1000. All right, Abel.
Hey, good morning, guys. Great show, as always. Love you guys.
What's up, Kane? Kane and Abel. How you doing, man?
I'm alive. I'm the opposite. I'm alive, not dead. So
yeah, right. There you go.
There you go.
No, I understand your pain, Cap. It's like when Grafal brings in Bomer for the Sox. My wife, who I love, my wife, of course, who is watching the game with us, and goes, "Why is Bomer coming in?" That she doesn't know anything else about baseball. There's an issue.
Right. When she sees Bomer come out, she knows it's a problem. It's going
it's
to be a problem.
Over. I was at the game when Lance Lynn had a no hitter going. Guess who comes in? And it all starts, the rain starts coming down, and it was, you know how it ended.
But, yeah.
So I think Ross, Papa Ross, as you guys call him or whatever it is, he's not going to be your coach. He can't be your coach. That's
Grandpa Rossi.
I'm sorry. Grandpa Rossi, yeah. But it's like Grafal. He's not going to be our coach in the future. He's just a yes man, I think. And, you know, that's what it is.
I don't know what Grafal is, Abel. I have no idea what he is. As a white claw goes down, I have no idea what he is, Cap.
Because by the way, White Claw, great sponsor here, brings you Twitch here on Cap and J Hood and on ESPN 1000. Take that.
I don't know what Grafal is on this team. Just a young manager that's going to going through growing pains. But Ross has been around here for a while, and so again, the Cubs are going to be a winning ball club. It won't be this year, Cap. That's not a playoff team this year. Mm-hmm. But next year, because you'll spend a little bit more money, there'll be more seasoning. You can already see the seeds being planted, right? I can identify at least two All-Stars in the team. I'm telling you that in May, without question. It's Steele and Patrick Wisdom.
What about Nico Hoerner?
Unhealthy right now.
He is.
Let's take a look. But those are two guys I've identified, like, yeah, they're going to go to the All-Star game. Wisdom is a solid player for you. Down the lineup, but a solid player for you. And Justin Steele, I mean, look at the one loss record.
Yeah, he's unbelievable.
I mean, so that's a find that you did not expect in Steele on the mound for the Cubs. 312-332-3776 is our phone number. Southside, Larry's on ESPN 1000. Hello, Larry.
Hey, how you doing? I don't know about Wisdom being an All-Star. But listen, let me just say this.
He'll be on. Ross, I think I see him being the All-Star. Why wouldn't he be? Give me someone better.
I think he's average wise. He's not there. He hits for power, but not for average. But,
he's got an over 900 OPS.
That enough power for you, Larry, or no?
Yeah, I mean, listen, he's power wise. He's doing the job.
He's got 23 RBIs. He's third in the league in home runs, 12 and 931 OPS, 14th best in the entire National League.
I take half over him. But
that's not playing third. That's not.
No, I'm saying as an All-Star, not going by position.
Okay.
But listen, the reason why I call is Ross cannot be the manager when the Cubs get better. He cannot. He shouldn't even be the manager today. When the Cubs first hired him, I didn't like it. Number one, because he had no experience managing. He wasn't even a coach. He made horrible decisions. He's slow to make adjustments. For example, he kept Suzuki in the cleanup spot when he clearly wasn't producing. And that's one of the reasons why the Cubs are in the position that they are in. How did Ventura, I'm sorry, not Cap, I can't even remember your name. Well, anyway, how did Ventura, when the Sox hired Ventura.
Well, what show did you Larry, let me ask you a question, Larry. Hold on. Larry. We're having a conversation, okay. Right? Okay, so show did you call? Whose show did you call?
Captain J. Hood. I couldn't get your name out. It's Captain J. Hood.
Okay.
I know J. Hood is a Sox fan. Okay,
yes.
No disrespect, J.
Oh,
Hood.
So you're talking about Robin Ventura.
Right. Robin Ventura had no experience. The Sox hired him. How did that go?
I didn't like that hire either because he was forced into the job.
I was stunned. Yeah. I remember I was on camera. On camera at NBC, and in my ear, Tom Cooper, my producer, goes, "Okay, you're going to react live on air right now. We're going to tell you what's coming. Just say we have some breaking baseball news." I look at the camera. We have breaking baseball news.
the White Sox have hired, and I'm fully expecting Sandy Alomar Jr. or somebody. Robin Ventura, I went, what?
Yeah.
I couldn't believe it.
Robin didn't even want the job.
He did not. He had to be talked into the job.
Didn't even want the job. You hire the legend, you've had to fire the legend at some point, true. Right?
Yep.
We appreciate a phone call from Bill. 312-332-ESPN, 332-3776 is our telephone number. I had to jog his memory, right?
Right.
It's like, what show did you call? That's right. I called Captain J Hood.
Correct.
That's, what's your name? Well, who'd you call? Can David Ross still be the manager when this team is ready to win? We'll get your phone calls coming up. 312-332-3776 is our telephone number. Cap'n J Hood, weekday mornings at 7.
Here's today's headlines. Headlines with Cap'n J Hood.
Jen. 7 a.m. hour is brought to you by Comet Energy Efficiency Program. Our headlines this morning, the Cubs lost to the Astros yesterday by a score of 6-4 in Houston. Cody Bellinger left the game with an apparent knee injury after a catch at the wall. Christopher Morel with a three-run homer in the fourth. The Bulls are hoping to turn the trick in the lottery, receive the number one pick for Derrick Rose with a 1.7% chance back in the day. They hold a 1.8% chance for the number one pick in Wembanyama.
I'm trying to get the vibes right for tonight. Let's go!
NBA's conference finals start tonight as the Lakers take on the Nuggets game one at 7 o'clock, and then tomorrow it's the Celtics and the Heat. The conference finals for the NHL are set as Dallas eliminated Seattle in game seven. So Stars against the Golden Knights in the West and Panthers and the Hurricanes in the East. Jay Moore.
Welcome back to Cap'n J Hood Experience. Weekdays from 7 to 10 on Chicago's Home for Sports, ESPN Chicago.
Our guy Larry just texted or tweeted, Cap, please tell Hoodie I apologize. I couldn't remember the name at the moment. I was trying to think of my thoughts. I also followed Hoodie for a long, long time in his career, so I know Jonathan Hood on Sports Talk very well. I apologize.
But not just this morning, though. Knowing me for a long time, but not today.
He was, I think, a little like trying to get his thoughts together on the Cubs, and he had a mental block. It's happened.
Shay Norley.
I got nothing for this.
Cap'n J Hood, weekday mornings at 7 here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app. Don't forget, we got Shatter No Shot coming up at 8 o'clock. And we're talking to you about the Cubs. Like, and when the Cubs are good, will David Ross be the manager? I say yes to that because I expect him to be the manager next year.
Mm-hmm. I do too.
I just want to know, like, for the long haul, even with an extension, is Ross the answer? All I've ever asked is, what does David Ross do? What does he do well to keep the ball club together?
I think he sets a very good culture in there. That's what I've been told by people in there, that he holds people accountable. He is very much in charge. I just question some of the decision-making at times. There was a situation a couple weeks ago. They got the tying run on, and Nick Madrigal's batting. Really? Really?
What's wrong with Nick Madrigal?
And he grounded into a double play, ball game over. You told me Nick Madrigal's the fourth overall pick. He's going to be the face of the White Sox.
I never said that. Never.
When you guys drafted him, you did.
Never said
you
that.
You loved it.
No. Now you're being
got this little bat out of Oregon, Oregon State.
Oh, yeah. Now you're being dishonest with the audience.
And when we traded for him, I went, we got him. And you went, he can't play.
Never said that. Never said that.
No, you told me he couldn't play when we traded for him.
I did say that, yes. I told you that you're going to be really aggravated at that 4A ball player you got in Madrigal. It's exactly what he is. He's a 4A ball player. Not good enough to be in the big leagues, and so good that he can't be in the minor leagues. So he's stuck. Good luck. But when the ball club's better, though, you don't expect Madrigal to be on the team, right? 24?
He better not be.
just not good. 312-332-3776 is our phone number. In Steger, here's Jimmy on ESPN 1000. All right, Jimmy.
Jimmy!
Good morning, guys. Cap and Jay Hood, it's been a while since I spoke to you.
So,
I'm just going to make it real simple. I have nothing against Rossi whatsoever. The last couple years, his roster, not his fault. But these boneheaded mistakes have got to end. Joe Girardi can win this division, this weak division that it is, can win with him now. the move's got to be made, guys. Last night is a perfect example. I'm done with this.
Done with what? The Cubs or Ross?
I'm done with Ross. I mean, he's made so many boneheaded mistakes. Kev, you were being nice saying he's made a couple. I got a few more than that, boys. I'll listen to your comments, but please hire Joe Girardi manager ASAP. Thank you, guys.
Take that. Yeah.
Well, here's a question about your friend, and we all have the same thing in common. We all have the same agent.
Mm-hmm.
Girardi better in the dugout or in the booth?
I love him in the booth. I think he's really, really good. Yeah. And he won a World Series in New York. I like Joe very, very much. Joe is old school.
That work in there?
I don't know the answer to that. It didn't work in Philly, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
He had a player miss the sign for a steal because he's joking and playing, as it was told to me, grab ass over at first base.
Yep, I get it.
And they're down a run in the seventh, and he was supposed to steal second. Doesn't steal, and the next guy gets the base hit, and he only gets the third, and they lose by a run.
I think he's in the right spot, right next to Boog.
Yeah.
Because I appreciate Joe and his love of the game and his old school ways, because that's how we all grew up watching the game. Mm-hmm. Managers like that.
Mm-hmm.
For today's player, some of that stuff doesn't work. Honest to God, I mean, you want to be able to just mold and shape and just correct, and some players don't like that.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if that works today.
I love Joe.
Yeah,
you know that.
Yeah.
But I'm biased. He's one of my dear friends.
Better on marquee. 312-332 ESPN is our phone number. Dennis is in Berea, Kentucky, listening on the ESPN Chicago app. All right, Dennis. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. How are you today?
What's up?
Well, you've been listening to us talk about the Cubs. What do you think of what's going on with Ross?
I've never been a Rossi fan. I think that was a safe hire by Ricketts.
Ricketts has nothing to do with the hire. Let's just be clear. That was Jed's hire. That was not Ricketts' hire.
Well, yeah, it's Jed's hire, so you're right, Dave. I stand corrected. My candidate always should have been Sandy Alomar, the bench coach, not the player. I feel he has the pedigree. He has the experience. All he needs is a chance. And I mean, I could be wrong, but that's why we call the doctors here every morning. I just feel he's the right guy for the organization.
Well,
I felt that way about the White Sox, too, when he should have been Sox manager by now.
Okay, explain to me why he can never get a job.
Well, you know the first thing you always hear about that, right? Number one, with a bullet, doesn't interview well.
That's part of the process,
right? That's usually how come so and so hasn't met? How come Bob Watson isn't a manager? Doesn't interview well,
right?
Remember that,
right?
How come the Kansas City offensive coordinator doesn't interview well?
Like nobody knows. Correct, Eric Bieniemy.
Yeah,
nobody knows him better than the Cleveland Indians, now Guardians. He was a longtime player in their organization.
Alomar,
Sandy Alomar.
Yeah.
He was their interim manager in 2012 for a brief time. He was a coach with the Mets for 2 years. He's been with the Cleveland Indians and Guardians from 2010 to the present. And never can get the manager's job. There's more to that story then.
Maybe. But Dennis's bottom line is that he doesn't think that Ross is the guy. Didn't think I'd hear that this morning, quite frankly. I know that there's been some thoughts out there, but this morning I'm surprised, as many people that we've talked to so far, anti-Ross, ready for the Cubs to turn the page. And that's going to happen, by the way, when you have a very difficult road trip. This is not a season-defining road trip, Cap, but it does tell a great story about where the Cubs are. When you're taking on the Minnesota Twins, a strong American League foe, you're taking on the Houston Astros, just won the World Series championship in Philadelphia. This is very difficult right now. You got to be able to pull the nose up on this thing. Just one win on the road trip so far.
Correct.
And then losing to a bad St. Louis team, that also had to stick in your craw while you're out of town. You know, an opportunity to beat up on a St. Louis team and then losing?
You lost 2 of 3 there. 2 of 3.
And it actually helped Contreras while you're away. That's another storyline. Contreras turned, it would turn heel to the audience. So when he first had his first at bat, I would say 75 to 80% applause for Contreras, and there were some boos.
They played the video.
It might have been some Cardinal fans, boy.
Right.
But still, there you got some boos. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, he gets on base and starts doing this to the crowd. Got the hands up, just like, give it to me. Give me the boos. Give it to me. Like, oh, so you're a heel now, huh?
Right.
I have nothing against Chicago. Chicago's been good to me. The Cubs organization, boo, give it to me. Like a heel wrestler. Mm-hmm. Like, huh, that's interesting.
Yeah, a couple hits.
Oh, more than a couple of hits. I mean, the guy got on base and was looking to be showered by boos. He wanted to be the bad guy.
Right.
Hmm.
He said, I enjoyed the cheers and the boos.
Hmm.
It was an interesting experience.
So what are you going to do about this now, the schedule?
So you get two more with the Astros. Day off, thank God, on Thursday.
One of them is steal, and that's tonight. It's on the mound for the Cubs.
Correct. Then you go to Philadelphia. Play the team that lost the World Series last year. They're pretty good, and Bryce Harper's back. Then you get another day off on Monday. Then you got to come home and play the Mets, who are pretty damn good, for three. Then you get the Reds for three, and then the Rays come into town. That's how you end the month of May.
And the Padres. Oh, God.
I didn't even look at Junior.
then my Padre come
Then you
in.
Go to San Diego.
Oh, God.
For four. You go to the Angels for three. You go to the Giants for three. Like, there are no breaks coming for a while.
It tells you where you are, though, doesn't it?
Correct.
It also tells you what you're going to do at the deadline. I know you don't want to go there yet, but I'm just saying, like, you got to figure out what kind of ball club you're going to be. Right now, you're an under 500 team, underwater, the way you're playing. And this road trip is just double tough. What's Ross going to do about it? And by the way, nice job, Wisniewski. Back to the minors.
Yeah, they said he needs a reset.
That's, I know you didn't want to hear that.
I mean, it's got to mean that Kyle Hendricks is ready to come back.
But you wanted Wisniewski to be able to work out here. That's not good.
Yeah, he wasn't good the other day, so get him right. He's had some good starts, but the other day, no.
Yeah. These are the growing pains you're going to go through on your way to the playoffs, I think, in 24. I know you won it yesterday. Not your playoff team that you thought you're getting. That's not who they are.
Right.
Sorry.
I guess I can't sing I Love L.A.
312-332-ESPN. 332-3776 is our phone number. All right, still to come. Could the Cubs contend for the playoffs this year? We have audio for you that suggests that could be the case. Did I say the Bears?
You said Cubs.
Oh, did I say Cubs? Could the Bears contend for the playoffs this year? We have audio for you that talks about the Bears. That's coming up next on Cap and Jay Hood.
You're listening to Cap and Jay Hood. Follow the show on Instagram at the Capman and at IGJHood. This is ESPN Chicago, Chicago's home for sports.
Cap and Jay Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app. We got Shot or No Shot coming your way at 8 o'clock. I'd like to let you know that we'll be cross-talking with Black and Abdallah from at 10 o'clock. They're on from 10 to noon, followed by Carmen and Peggy from 12 to 2. Waddle and Sylvie, 2 to 6. Tyler and Miller from 6 to 6:30, right in the White Sox baseball. They take on the Guardians. That's a 6:30 pregame right here on the home of the White Sox, ESPN 1000. So could the Bears contend for the playoffs this year? Of course, Cap, you and I have been going back and forth talking about how the Bears went from 3 wins, and if they went to 7 or 8 wins, that would definitely be a step in the right direction. But there is just this overhype and this thought out there from national media and some local media that feel that just because the Bears made some moves in the offseason with the draft and free agency, that they're on their way. Well, they're on their way, but I always think that there's, again, it's incremental success. I don't expect 3 wins to take 3 steps up to win 9 or 10 or 11 games. I just don't think that's in the cards for the Bears, at least based on its roster.
Yeah, you know my feeling that they're on the right path. I really like a lot of the moves that they've made. And Ryan has been clear. Ryan Poles has said, we're doing this the right way, not the fastest way. And he has not addressed edge pressure at all this offseason. And he said, we'll sign a veteran. There'll be one out there, whether it's Jadeveon Clowney or Leonard Floyd or Yannick Ngakoue. But those are short-term deals. No real, you know, long-term commitment. And you have two number one picks next year. I would assume if Justin is the guy we all hope he is, that you will use one of those picks on an edge rusher, the best in the draft. Let's hope that the Bears have a good record and Carolina has an awful record. Then you have something really valuable that you could trade.
This morning on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, Jeff Darrington, who does a great job covering the NFL for ESPN, was on their show this morning. And there was a kind of an agree and disagree back and forth between Keyshawn and Darrington regarding whether or not the Bears are going to make the playoffs.
I'm going to go real here. I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt that everybody seems to be giving them. I don't necessarily know that they're going to ascend to the heights. Dan Orlovsky saying, for instance, that Justin Fields, he expects to be playing at an MVP level, that he will be in that conversation. I don't think I'm ready to go there. But again, we talked about the division. I think the Lions are for real. I don't know that any NFC division is really standing out all that much to me. So I will say that the Bears can really get to the playoffs this year.
I'd say not real. I say they make strides. They certainly are going to be a better team with guys like DJ Moore coming over. But at the same time, they're not ready yet. They're a year or so away from this taking the division, maybe winning the division, whatever the case is. They're a year or so away from the playoffs, though.
So I think that Keyshawn agrees with us.
Correct.
Based on what we just heard there.
Correct. Again, I gave out seven wins yesterday, but gave you three or four games that, they beat Denver here. Wow, they won in New Orleans. They won at Cleveland.
Mm-hmm.
Those are games that if you can flip them, you absolutely can be in that discussion, in the hunt. I just don't think you can flip all of them. I don't.
But do you hear and see the excitement around the Bears?
It's cool.
Do you know how many years you and I have been around watching this team? Four wins, five wins, underachievement, non-playoff team, no shot to be able to get to the postseason.
Okay, when was the last time that at the start of the season you were that excited? Because when Matt Nagy got here in 2018, nobody was excited at the start of that year. No one saw 12-4 coming.
Right.
No one. 2019, we were excited, but there was trepidation. I don't know, is Mitch the guy? Like, there was never the feeling about Mitch that there is today about Justin Fields. Yet, Justin's performance in terms of throwing the football wasn't any better than Mitch's.
Right.
He ran for a ton of yards.
Mm-hmm.
They won three games. Mitch was the quarterback of a 12-win team, but we knew he wasn't the guy.
I guess my point, Cap, is that it is fascinating to
hear.
It took
me longer to learn that than others.
That's all right. Well, it happens. It happens. When you're riding the wave of a young player, because it might have taken you time to learn, but I think that just like any other young player, you're giving the young player the benefit of the doubt. You just know that there's a short leash on these quarterbacks. Unlike a basketball player, a hockey player, if the quarterback underachieves for a year or a year and a half, that guy's out. Because the NFL moves quickly. You don't have time to develop. Some teams don't have the time.
Right. If Justin has a bad year, oh boy.
Sure. But that's based on the hype train, though. And that's why that the coverage has been unfair for the most part. Mm-hmm. Next year, if the Bears win five games and Justin's the same, okay, so the Bears will try to draft a quarterback, I'm sure, and bring a free agent in. But what I'm also saying is that the process is unfair. It's sped up from where it was even 10 years ago with the quarterback position. Because you got guys on television, guys on radio saying Justin Fields is either an MVP, the MVP, or in the conversation for MVP, or he's a bust. There is no middle ground. There is no room anymore to be able to look at a young player and say, let's develop him. Let's make sure that he's right. Because this is how fast things go now. I mean, it's unfortunate because we should look at Justin and say, all right, three wins or seven wins. Seven wins to the playoffs. Perennial playoff team. Get to the conference championship. You know, win the Super Bowl. Some teams don't have time for that. Because you know what's going to happen? Once the Bears are good, Getsy will be in line for a head coaching job. then another OC will be in. Will that OC be able to enhance what Justin does?
Right.
Or stay the same or go backwards?
Correct.
That's why everything's moved so fast in this league. Fast. And so, to me, the coverage has been unfair. You know, when we get this conversation with Darlington and Keyshawn Johnson, there's, you know, disagreeing or disagreeing on the playoffs. Well, I mean, just be honest. 3 wins to a team that still can't get to the quarterback? They made a few changes, sure. But does that mean they're going to get to the quarterback? If they can't get to the quarterback, I don't care what happens on the offensive side. If they can't get to the quarterback, that team is just going to be stationary. The Bears. 6 wins, maybe. Because you got to get to the quarterback at some point.
Agreed.
So, I mean, all the hype over Fields, fine. I mean, he can put up 42 points. Doesn't do any good if you're giving up 45.
Agreed.
Right, so.
Yeah, I just think we got to have some patience here.
Yeah.
Got to.
But not these people, though. Not on television. Right. Over our shoulder. They want it yesterday. MVP or bust. That's all they're talking about.
If they go out and lose the first game to the Packers, and Jordan Love looks good, and Justin doesn't, has the balance of power shifted? Is Jordan Love the next great quarterback?
Yeah.
Can we slow down, please?
Shot or no shot in 2 minutes on Chicago's Home for Sports.